Thank you very much for inviting me here, Mr. Newman, and thank you, Jay, for the introduction. What I heard myself say really applies to all of us, isn't it? What we do every day, how blessed we should feel that what we daily practice is connected to helping humanity. And those of us in agriculture are blessed in that. And so two things I want to say about my remarks this morning. One, I have decided to speak from a note, and so please bear that with me. And secondly, I have titled my talk, Agriculture, Food and Nutrition Have Been Made Relevant Again. If you think about 10 years ago, where we were in agriculture and our food systems, where today we've really turned the corner. And so the point that I'm trying to make here is it's a rebirth of agriculture and food nutrition system. Opportunities have been provided where the complacency of the past have been avoided, and we now have a huge responsibility not to fall back in that complacency again. And I'll talk about the things that we all care about, the things that you practice about seed systems, and the things that we do, the science and technology generation, the human capacity development that we're all involved in, and also touch on the fact that the responsibility others have in making the kinds of policy decisions that need to be made so that we get our work done right and you get your work done right so that collectively, together, we help humanity in that charge and responsibility that I say should be considered a blessing that we have. Although we entered the dawn of the 21st century with some doubts about how to sustainably feed a rapidly growing world population, the last few years have been good to agriculture, both in the private and the public sectors of the world. There have been increased recognition for the vitality of the agriculture sector. There has been increased recognition for that and for agriculture and agriculture economy, its indispensability for keeping the fabric of global democracy and governance, as well as for its role in sustaining global peace and stability. We're aware that science, technology, and the commercial infrastructure that was laid out in the 20th century have changed the way we produce and use food, the way we travel, and the way we take care of ourselves, our health, the way we travel and communicate. The spread of this knowledge has literally shrunk the world into a small global village with changed lifestyle and diets. This had added greater economic opportunities, but has also resulted in increasing pressure on our natural resource utilization. We recognize the additional dimension of some of these changes, the recognition that hunger that's taking place in the far fringes of the world can also cause an increasing demand in agriculture for food, feed, and energy at home, resulting in a rare sense of food insecurity, even in the Western world where we have a lot of abundance. With food riots in several countries, it was made clear during the 2007-2008 food price crisis that population growth, lack of employment, and poverty are aligned with hunger and political instability. And that is not good for anyone. We also live in an uneven world. We recognize there is an uneven distribution of natural resources and other key materials for economic growth, such as land, labor, knowledge, and capital. The implication of these shortages on our ability to feed the world and sustain global economic growth has been felt widely. Coupled with the more frequent climate variability issues, a growing global water crisis and serious concerns about the growing demand for non-renewable energy sources, we're left with only one choice. We have to opt for sharpening our focus, restore our commitment to science and technology and the power of trade and business, and strengthening our public and private institutions with a 21st century vision and infrastructure to enhance our mitigation and adaptation capabilities. The past could foretell the future. We have scored successes in critical situations in the past. We should therefore be able to overcome the latest set of challenges as well. Here may be a situation where rewinding the film may be the right thing to do. In the 20th century, U.S. leadership was responsible for three most important agricultural revolutions that brought about transformative changes in global economic development, in improved human livelihood, as well as global nutrition and health. In the 1930s, discoveries made at U.S. universities in the new science of genetics created the hybrid corn technology that was followed by the ingenuity and innovation of American rural communities, which spurred the development of an agro-industry complex, such as what you're involved in, creating jobs and opportunities for millions of people, changing the face of rural America once and for all. In the 1960s, Norman Borlaug, a young American scientist who grew up in the rural Midwest during the Depression era, witnessed the exciting opportunities and impact brought about by science, technology, and innovation in business to his own people in rural Iowa, figured out a way to take his own scientific discoveries to the fight against hunger in Asia and Latin America in the now famous Green Revolution that is known to have fed and saved billions of people since. In the 1980s, building on the discoveries of the double helix structure of the DNA, American scientists again made a new discovery made possible through the groundbreaking molecular research that went of the science of biotechnology and the creation of genetically modified organisms, such as crop plant cultivars, endowing them with favorable traits of disease or insect resistance and or traits that add nutritional value. With these three remarkable agricultural revolutions, the United States trust itself as global leader in advancing science, technology, and innovation, spurring economic development for its people and for other nations as well. We were successful in those cases because of the enabling discoveries in science and technology that were there. Key elements here were that basic science discoveries laid out the foundation for the translational technologies and products and the innovations that ensued. These collectively saved lives and brought about economic opportunities to many and raised the middle-income communities here and abroad. Fundamental to these successes in America, in America's early vision and commitment to building functional institutions in most sectors, and is its unshaking position to providing the right policy environments for innovating agricultural industries. The United States today is the undisputed global leader of successful agricultural enterprises through the legacy of science and technology work that stream out of its many universities and research institutions and the innovations that continue to emanate out of its agricultural and food business communities. The American experience is a compelling story on the power of science, trade, and business to achieve food security, to advance economic development. America has a comparative advantage and the capacity to continue to offer global leadership in global development for decades ahead. This American formula of science, technology, and innovation, suffused in the right policy environment at the basis of creating agriculture business enterprises that create employment, grow local economies, and offer a steady supply of food for consumers, has succeeded everywhere it has been given a chance. Certainly in Europe and the Pacific, as well as more recently in the emerging economies. America's contribution to spreading its proven approach of science-based economic development in agriculture was not limited to just setting an example, but it also included providing technical assistance and rallying necessary resources in support of and in sustaining the agricultural and food systems of the poor world. Not as a handout, but with a mindset of enlightened self-interest. It starts with a series of brilliant early legislations that established the U.S. land-grant university system, with its tripartite functions of educating young men and women from rural America at public colleges, establishment of the agriculture experiment station systems and the cooperative extension services, and perhaps as importantly, the recognition for the ingenuity of businesses to exploit scientific discoveries from public institutions toward building employment and wealth, as well as economic opportunities for local communities. There is not a better place to tell a better story about the magical formula of America's 20th century public-private partnership model than the history of the United States seed industry development. This was a partnership that synergized public investment in education, in research, and technology transfer with the innovative power and resources in the private sector to once and for all launch science-based modern agriculture as a linchpin for economic transformation in the United States. This lesson was eventually passed on to the rest of the Western world and to a few of the people in the developing world. The challenge for America today is whether it can continue to play this role again and again. America has done it in the past, so it's reasonable to believe that it can do it again in the last frontiers of Africa and Southeastern Asia. Science-based economic development can work its miracle one more time, lifting millions of smallholder farmers in poor nations out of the misery and drudgery that have shackled them for centuries. America can be the center of the next major scientific discovery to address many of the emerging global challenges that affect agriculture with its next technology and innovation. American public investment can also assist other nations, not through handouts, as I said, but as hands-ups, through helping build the human capacity of poor nations, strengthening their public institutions, influencing local governance, and encouraging them to place the right kinds of policy environments in their own nations. I recognize this is a tall order at a time of financial austerity in the developed world. It may also require greater commitment to change stubborn traditions and corrupt political systems in the developing nations. But with the growing recognition and the sense of urgency by the changing realities of the new global economic order and the ensuing competition for resources, there may be a new window of opportunity for a concerted effort. The American seed sector needs to engage more in global development effort. Seed is a driver of agricultural transformation. It's a vehicle for change. No nation, in my judgment, no nation has advanced its agricultural industry without developing its input delivery system. A functional input delivery system is mostly missing in many developing nations. The absence of a good seed industry has stifled the impact from investments and efforts made in crop improvement in many poor nations. The American seed industry is a global leader. There is no better source of that knowledge than this community here. That knowledge needs to be shared. In many developing countries, seed and grain are not well differentiated. The lack of knowledge of the value and place of seed in a local economy has been cause for concern. It is important that farmers, agents of change, and policymakers all develop an informed understanding of the value of seed. It is my assessment that when the value of seed is recognized by farmers and agents of change, a necessary impetus for technology generation adoption is catalyzed. That is important, but I put more weight on educating policymakers. When the value of seed is recognized by policymakers and decision makers, the conditions for agricultural transformation in a country, in a community, is facilitated. Only then can seed be conducted as a profitable business operation that renders invaluable service. Past American assistance in building public institutions in developing countries, such as universities, research organizations, regulatory agencies, as well as the greater governance and policy arena, has been universally successful in many developing countries, such as in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. Unfortunately, these have not been complemented with the American private sector engagement, particularly in the seed sectors in the poorest developing nations. As past American public investments have generated so much opportunity for all, paying great dividends for America as well as the recipient nations, it is reasonable to project new public and private investments will likely have far-reaching benefits for all in the future. For that, we need to recognize that the challenges of meeting current and future demands of food have grown to be infinitely more complex. The challenges of global food security demands that we need to learn to produce more food with less land, with less water, and with modern agricultural inputs to mitigate the growing weather variability and the threatening agenda of the global climate challenge. We are encouraged by the growing research investments in the private sector. However, according to the recent Association of Americans, the AAAS Science and Technology Forum, its reports show that U.S. R&D spending is overall declining, and that we are in an innovation deficit, while many peer countries have dramatically increased their R&D spending, including China, which has tripled its R&D spending in the 21st century. For the United States, this is not the way to be competitive and to keep its edge. Public investments in agricultural sciences will need to increase to supplement the steady growth in the private sector. The competitive investments within the private sector is good, but society cannot rely on private sector investment alone. In fact, the challenge is how well to orchestrate and coordinate the mix of research and research investment that take place in the private sector, in the public sector, in the developed world, in the traditional powerhouses of knowledge, in the emerging economies, as well as even investments in poor developing nations. The science and business of agriculture and food in all of these sectors should receive the incentives and resources needed for the conduct and deployment of existing tools of modern agricultural sciences, as well as new investments and more funding for research to generate more powerful tools such as advanced biotechnology to address the more intractable problems of agriculture and food systems. These investments are essential to increase production, enhance nutrition and utilization, reduce food loss, improve storage and transportation, as well as devise new processing and distribution systems to encourage trade, business, and overall growth of entrepreneurial capacity in the new frontiers for commercial agriculture. To enhance the value and benefit from these investments, the complexities around global trade that work against poor developing nations should be relieved so as not to prevent these nations from participating in the growing global economy and advancing their own economic growth. Strategic public-private partnerships that take local realities of the developing countries into account will be badly needed. Meeting the future global demand of food and preserving the natural resources for the future generation will require smallholder farmers in poor nations not only to feed themselves, but also as major contributors to the charge of feeding the world. Today, poor developing nations of the world are not exporters of food, as they lack the basic human capital, the physical infrastructure such as storage and transportation, and harmonized regulatory system, or they have government regulations or protectionist policies that discourage regional and global trade opportunities for all of these many poor African nations. And this, too, will have to change. The challenges of feeding a growing world population are huge. To feed the world, we will need to earnestly encourage the effective engagement of these smallholder farmers as well as large commercial enterprises. We will need smart investments and partnerships from poor and rich nations that advance the science and technology necessary to address the growing complexity around the biophysical challenges and the shocks that are brought about by climate change. Trade and businesses are critical for growth of agriculture, and they generate a demand for increased production derived from the investments in science, in technology, and innovation. Trade and businesses create the markets for agricultural inputs, as they do for the produce generated from farm communities, and as well the end products that emerge from the extended value chains of the production and processing systems that have been put in place. Since the recent food price crisis that awakened the whole world from its complacency on believing that it can feed the world on food produced in only a few pockets of remarkable agricultural successes, major commodities have continued to show trends of sharp increase in prices, pinching the pockets of the poor all over the world. The greater concern, indeed, is in the developing countries, particularly in Africa, in Southeast Asia, because these nations badly need science and technology, but they do not possess the capacity to access and adopt them. Finally, please allow me to make some comments on behalf of Africa, a region of the world that is considered the new big frontier. This continent needs to recognize that, like the nations of the developed world, it too can meet the grand challenges around food insecurity and low economic growth and development without the powers of science and technology, without the powers of trade and business in the right policy environment. It cannot be done. Its economy is currently growing at a fast pace. Its macroeconomic programs policies are improving, and foreign direct investment is flowing in well, although mostly from limited sources. Yet Africa has not been able to scale up existing scientific technologies to meet the challenges in national and regional food security because of the lack of human institutional capacity and the political will and leadership that has not always been exercised with alacrity. Most fundamental to nations seeking food security is building local human and institutional capacity in all spheres of their economy. Africa needs to rapidly build its human capacity, its scientific infrastructure, and its public and private institutions, including the institutions of higher learning, research, and engagement, as well as even the governance and policy institutions. It needs to invest in its own meager, resources, as well as aggressively pursue technical assistance from friendly nations. The 21st century appears to be about partnerships, and Africa has no choice but to get in the mix with some sense of clarity in its engagement. The Western world cannot afford to ignore Africa and its potential. China is investing heavily in Africa, literally transforming the African road, railway, and telecommunication infrastructure, while the West continues to nickel and dime in traditional NGO-based development assistance. To me, our greatest comparative advantage is in human capacity and in institutional development of Africa through our universities and our private sector. We're great in enhancing knowledge and building institutions of science, technology, and innovation. That's our strength. I'm a product of the Technical Assistance Program, with most of my educational programs supported by the United States government. And I know fully well what education and knowledge can do for a person, for a family, and a nation. Africa needs to turn to the power of education, science, trade, and business to address the triad of the continent's most persistent enemies of illiteracy, hunger, and diseases, and commit its due attention to growing its economic opportunities for its people and to participate in the global economy. That's where we can assist Africa to be competitive and to engage with us and the rest of the world in building a healthier global economy. There is no substitute. Thank you very much.